You want to double down on boosting engagement and building community on YouTube? Well, that's how I roll on this episode.
Discover how video can help you achieve your sales and marketing goals. It all starts right here in Todd Hartley's Video Marketing Mastery. Brought to you by Wirebuzz.
You know, it's a foregone conclusion nowadays that YouTube is a force to be reckoned with. It is the number two most used search engine, right after Google, and the number one social network ahead of Facebook. It is a monster. When my stepmom was diagnosed with breast cancer, as a digital marketer, I knew how I could help women like her. So I launched Breast Cancer Answers, and I launched it as a YouTube channel to help women all over the world, like my stepmom, who didn't have access to the best doctors in the world. I really threw my heart and soul in it. It was part of my own passion, right? And in that first year with video, we created 700,000 followers, 6.3 million video views from an audience of women 35 to 64 years of age. We really hit our needle in a haystack. You know, that's a really hard demographic to reach, but we knew how to do it because we knew how to leverage the force and the power of YouTube to help out our cause. You know, most marketers are just trying to get lucky on YouTube, but success on YouTube isn't like putting your best friend's birthdates on a Kino card and hoping you get to yell out, Kino. It doesn't work that way. And I'm not interested in gambling my clients' ROI. That makes me really nervous. If you're going to not plan your YouTube tactics and you're just going to roll the dice, it's going to end tragically, like the movie Hangover with a naked Asian man in your trunk or waking up next to Mike Tyson's tiger. That's how it plays out each and every time. Tragedy. And to make sure your marketing doesn't end up like the movie The Hangover, I created this episode to help you leverage the full power of YouTube for your business. And why I invited Tim Schmoyer of Video Creators to discuss how to build community and boost engagement on YouTube. You know, Tim recently gave a presentation at Social Media Marketing World, and on this episode, we're going to explain how to craft really enticing thumbnails that people absolutely want to click on. The reasons titles are important for inspiring people to click on your video, why most people aren't spending nearly enough time on their titles, and how to engage viewers quickly. And by quickly, I mean within the first 10 to 15 seconds. I'm also going to discuss the reasons that you want to make it easy for your audience to engage. You want to pull them down into the conversation to make sure that that topic continues to live on after the video. Also, you're going to learn why consistency and establishing expectations helps build your audience. In other words, look, this is an extremely valuable episode for advancing business on YouTube. All right, so let's talk about the 7 practical ways that you can boost engagement and build community for your YouTube videos. And that's why I'm joined right now by video distribution specialist Tim Schmoyer from Video Creators. Hey, Tim.
Hey, how are you doing?
Doing great, man. Thanks for joining me. Now, Tim, as you know, I've been following you for years. You've always been a very consistent voice on how to amplify your goals on YouTube. And for listeners who just may be discovering Tim Schmoyer for the first time, can you share a little bit about yourself and your journey?
Yeah, I uploaded my very first YouTube video on March 2nd, 2006. So it's been over 10 years ago now. And it was just a way for me to introduce my family. I was in grad school and I wanted to introduce my family back home on the other side of the country to my girlfriend. And so we started making like little videos together, you know, just us going out on dates. Today we know it as vlogging, but back then it wasn't a thing. And just started really getting involved more in the industry side of YouTube by trying to figure out how does this platform work. And make a long story short, now that's what I do for a living. I've been doing it for several years now, I forget exactly, but it's been several years full time.
You know, it's funny, in back with us 2006, and you were doing that so they could meet your girlfriend, but to, you know, nowadays they've got YouTube polls with question annotations, and lucky you didn't roll that out because you wouldn't have wanted the family to right?
I broke up with her, and then we got back together again 8 months after that, and then we got engaged 4 months after that and married 3 months later. So it worked out. Now we got 6 kids, ages 6 and under. And so it's really cool to have our ongoing family story on our family's channel there. We just vlog a couple times a week.
You know, that's a really sweet story. And as a video creator that gets the messages, the signals that get sent when people start to like and comment, it's probably really helpful to have 6 kids that could like and comment. I'm just kidding, man. All right. So
your job is to sit here and spam that like button.
Yeah. All right. So before we get into today's topic, I always like to ask this question. It comes up all the time. What is the number one biggest mistake that you see marketers make on YouTube?
We could spend the whole session on just that. But the biggest one I feel like is they go into it without a clear plan. I think sometimes, and again, you know, some people are depends on how people are wired too, but it seems like they just upload stuff and hope. Think, expect that it'll perform. And then they're like, YouTube stuff doesn't work. You know, and they just go, I uploaded 3 videos and none of them got 10 views, you know?
Right.
And so I was like, well, yeah, if you made a post to your Facebook page that only had 2 followers, you wouldn't expect that to go viral, right? Like, so you need some like following there in order to really start taking advantage of it. So that, I think they just have different expectations for YouTube though than they do like Facebook or something like that.
Totally. And one of the things that comes to mind as I'm listening to you is I've discovered that most marketers, they wing a lot of things. And when they, right, and I'm a strategist, you know, like you, I want to, I want to lay out a really smart strategy. I want to know what that goal is at the very beginning.
Yeah, step one, step right? Two, step three.
Exactly. Yeah. Because I look at it like a train and I want to make sure I get my client's project to station on time and that people get off in the right areas. A lot of marketers just wing things. And when you get into video, it gets expensive and complex and they tend to not have a very thorough thought out plan. And it sounds like you see that come up all the time. And today's topic is going to be about 7 practical ways that people boost engagement and build community on their YouTube videos. You've had a great career in doing this. So before we jump into those 7 tips, why is YouTube engagement and community even, why does that even matter?
Well, it depends on who you ask. You're asking me, so I'll tell you what I say is one of the things I discovered about online video very early is that it is a very unique platform in the sense, we'll give a little more context real briefly, is that I was a full-time blogger also. Like that blog I used to kind of pre-Facebook days just to kind of share what I was eating the night before and how it made me feel. I don't know why we care about that stuff back then either, but apparently we did. And that blog turned into a full-time income for me, actually, and I lived off that, supported my family off of it for a few years. And writing was cool. I published some books and stuff, but with video, I learned that you can actually look someone in the eye and, you know, you can actually do like a lot of nonverbal communication, which most of us know that only 7% of what you say is like the communication part. You can not just tell something to someone, but you can bring them along and have them experience it with you. There's just like a lot of really powerful things. And long story short, my family's channel, we just started seeing so much life-changing impact happening as a result from our viewers, as a result of what we were publishing. And through all those stories of like, hey, this saved our marriage. Hey, this helped me to, this got me off the cliff. I didn't commit suicide because of this. Hey, I raised my standards of the types of guys I'm dating now because of your videos. Like all those types of things. We're like, this is actually reaching people and impacting their lives and influencing the future trajectory of their entire life and that of their families. And so we're like, this is a really powerful platform to reach people, to spread a message that changes their lives, remembering that every single view on YouTube actually represents an actual person who said, I'm going to give you a few minutes to speak into my life. And my question is, what are you going to do with that opportunity? And so for me, it's all about reaching people with a message that impacts them and changes their life. And I really love partnering with people who have that type of mission.
Yeah. Every time you and I talk, I get back to that same point. I've been involved in using my digital marketing skills to lift up cancer patients around the world. And that's my mission. Mm-hmm. And we've grown our audience to over 1.1 million followers. And so, you know, I resonate really deeply when you talk about that. And when you just discussed your personal family videos and what you were doing, it sounds like what you were really doing was being vulnerable and authentic. And when content creators do that, their message really resonates and hits home with their audience, which then wants to engage further because it feels like a very authentic, real relationship. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I actually basically, I would take it a step further and say, yes, it's about being real and authentic, but plenty of people are real and authentic. I think my wife and I, it's kind of accidental, but it kind of comes out of who we are as people too. And that what we were doing on YouTube was actually like a mission. Like this is our mission. Like we're not just telling stories of our family because we think we're awesome and you have lots of free time. We're just doing this because like we feel like this is something that will impact and change people. And that's like the real goal. And I think when people feel like you are doing this because you have their best interest at heart, they're not only do you have to be transparent and vulnerable for them to feel that, but when they do, like that's when they really start respecting you and listening to you, as opposed to what a lot of marketers are doing. And that is, hey, I'm going to do this YouTube thing because I think this is another place where I can extract more value from people. Right. And when you go into that mindset, and yes, you do need a way to capture value, but the way I think of it is like the goal isn't to capture value and make money. That I feel like that's more of a result, and that's what makes the mission sustainable, right? And rather than being like I think money is a terrible goal, but I think it makes for a great tool, and that's the way I see it. So yes, you do need to make money from it in order to support yourself and your family and your time and the investment you're making. But to me, I see that it's to support the mission so you can continue to reach people and impact them.
Yeah, it's a good point. You know, I look at it like the goal is to always be helpful, and helpful becomes the new viral. And to talk about 7 practical ways that you can boost engagement and build community, I wanted to find time to sit down with Tim. So Tim, let's get right down into it. Give me the first way that somebody can boost engagement and build community with their YouTube videos.
Yeah, and each of these could be entire sessions by themselves, so you just tell me when to shut up and we'll keep going. But first thing, though, like the engagement starts at the very beginning of the viewing session, which is when they see your title and your thumbnail, right? So you have to really, number one, you have to craft enticing titles and thumbnails. A common mistake that I see a lot of marketers and creators making on YouTube is that they spend a lot of time working on their video and they give their thumbnail and title maybe 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. And a good way to flip that is to think, like a lot of the top YouTubers, they spend almost as much time on their titles and thumbnails as they do their videos, because they know that it doesn't matter how amazing the video is if the title and the thumbnail doesn't entice someone to click and watch it in the first place. All right, so there's some principles you can go over for titles and thumbnails if you want, but
yes,
writing
let's do
really
it.
The titles and thumbnails are really important.
No, let's do it. I actually, you know, I've always belonged to the theory that if you spend 5 hours on a video and the thumbnail and the title is what gets somebody to click, then don't kill the 5 hours that you just invested in that video by doing a crappy title and you know, not doing a thumbnail. So yeah, by all means, let's get into that a little bit. Talk about enticing thumbnails and titles.
Yeah. So the titles, real briefly, they have to do a few things, a couple principles you should remember. One, it has to tease a story or it has to pitch a value, depending on if you are doing educational-based content or entertainment-based content, whatever it is. Like it has to either tease something and pitch value. Another thing that has to do is, that you have to do is that it you have to write it primarily for people. Most people tend to write, especially in marketing world, they tend to write their titles for robots. Like, right. Let's cram all my keywords, put the most important keyword at the front. And at the end, it's kind of like, communicating what it says, but like, I would not want to click on it.
Right.
You know? And then a third thing is, don't just describe the content with the title, but tell us the why behind it. Why should someone care? Why should they click? What reward will I get by watching your video? And it just oriented around the people. And the way the algorithms work now, to boil it all down, is that if it works well for people, then the algorithm really loves that. So rather than trying to make it oriented for the algorithm by getting like perfect keywords in every single spot, you know, just if you're going to put numbers to it, which is hard to do, but just for the sake of the example, for me, I try to go like, right, 70% for people and 30% for robots. So you got to keep your keywords, like you need those, but I try to optimize them for people. And then that's when your titles will perform the best.
All right, Tim Schmoyer, I think all of this would make really good sense if marketers didn't go through an era of SEO. Like if you know, the Google bots and algorithm just out of the box was operated the way people think. Now we had to teach people for a long time on how to do it to be found in search and even to be discovered. Yep. And now we're reteaching going back to what would have been original. Do you agree with that?
Uh-huh. Yeah, absolutely. One of the most common questions I get from marketers is about like keyword research and things. I'm like, well, what's your video about? And they just tell me, I'm like, there's your keywords. Boom. Just use those. That's what a human will be looking for.
Right. You know? I do the same thing.
I'm like, yeah, I mean, if you want to get into like some of the details, like it's still some value there, I suppose. But you know, you got like 85% of the way there with what you just told me.
Right on. Okay. So that's the first one, crafting enticing thumbnails and titles. We'll go over some of the details later. What's the second one?
Number two is, okay, so they click the title and the thumbnail, and then the next thing you have to do is hook them. You have to engage them. So that is number two, immediately hook the viewers. And that means you have to use the first 15 seconds of your video very intentionally. So like a lot of marketers, they start off by like introducing themselves, talking a little bit about the brand, kind of doing some small talk, you know, maybe even giving a call to action at the beginning, which is really not a good idea. And so instead, like the key here is that the title, the thumbnail, and the first 15 seconds of the video, all three of those things need to clearly connect with each other. They all need to be integrated. Because when people click on a title and a thumbnail, when they click on a video, they click on it with some sort of expectation of the value that they want to consume from it, which is why they clicked it in the first place. And so the video needs to affirm for that viewer right away that, yes, the value that you clicked expecting to get is coming in this video. Otherwise, what ends up happening is that you'll have a high abandonment rate from the video, you'll miss a lot of valuable watch time, and thus your videos will perform more poorly in search and related and all that kind of stuff. So really important to hook that viewer at the very beginning.
Tim, one of the, I'm sure you see this a lot, man, but it's like one of the things that makes me so sad is how often I'm approached by a, you know, organization that just spent a boatload of money on a video that was created by like a television production company or you know, somebody who yeah. makes weddings and bar mitzvah videos, and they spent literally a fortune. And then they say, hey, Todd, can you help me save my job and resurrect? I'm not kidding. And they're like, you know, can you help resurrect this video and bring it back to life? Because nobody's taking the call to action at the end. And then we go and look at it, and literally, like you just said, the title, the thumbnail, and the first 15 seconds aren't aligned. And they didn't get to the point for maybe 25 seconds, but they lost 90% of their audience in the first 15 seconds. I mean, that's a huge problem that you just addressed and said very, very succinctly. Hook and engage viewers right away and make sure that your first 15 seconds are aligned with your title and your thumbnail, and you're way ahead of the game. All right, so the next one, what is your third element here?
Next one, number three, is ask questions. And the reason I say that is because now you've hooked them and you want to start making it easy for them to engage. And a great way to do that on YouTube, super easy, is just get them to write a comment, you know, below. Right. That's the first like easy low barrier of entry for someone to start engaging. So ask a question, but not just like any question. Like, so a lot of people will be like, so what'd you think about my video? Or let me know if you like this or not. You know, really open-ended, like kind of fishing for comments type of questions. As opposed to the test that I put my questions through before I ask them is, if someone were to answer this question and take me up on this and answer in the comments of the video, would the comment section become even more valuable to viewers right. than this actual video itself? And if the answer is yes, then that's a question that I want to ask, right? So, for example, if I'm teaching on like how to extend a viewer's viewing session on YouTube, maybe I'll ask something like, hey, what other tips did I miss that you found be helpful in getting viewers to watch more of your other videos? Show them in the comments below. I'd love to learn from you. And if this is an issue you're currently trying to explore and learn more about, read the advice and ideas that other creators have down in the comments below. I know you'll learn a lot from them, as I always do.
Right? Oh, my God.
Something like that.
That's so Tim Schmoyer. My God. You know, I'm a Tim Schmoyer groupie, right?
I said that a few times.
Yeah, I mean, like...
But there's a science, not science, but the reason that there's an intentionality behind it is that I'm encouraging. So in my mind, there's a difference between an audience and a community. An audience is basically what we're doing right now, where you and I are recording this podcast episode and you and I are talking, but everyone else is just focused on us. They're just looking at us. You know, so if someone's on a stage, everyone in the crowd is just looking at the performer. That's an audience. But if the person on stage can change their role and become like a facilitator of getting everyone in the audience. I'm using my hands, you can't see, but it would be really good if you could right now, which is just on video.
Right.
Get the audience to look at each other and start interacting with each other, with you being the leader, the facilitator, and you start forming a community that way. That's when people, like, that's super powerful. That's when people start to love you even more, because it's not just about what you did for them, but you also connected them with other people who are supporting them. And so I always say, hey, comment with this because you're going to add more value. But I encourage other people, go read with those other people who are commenting because you're going to learn more from them. And then the interaction that happens in the comments of the videos, people are like, oh, wow, like now I'm learning new channels I never knew existed. I'm subscribing to new people. Like we're meeting up at these events. And Tim, thank you so much for, I'm like, I didn't introduce you. You guys just started interacting in the comments because I made it easy for you to do so.
Tim.
I could talk a lot about
that. That is
this,
so smart though. No, I don't, by the way, don't think for a second that I think you're going on too long. I think this is so helpful. In fact, as you're talking about, go read what others are saying so you can learn from them. What you're really doing is you're making sure that your community is lifting up the value of your content, and you're following what I've always looked at as being the Ferris wheel approach, which is you're the center spoke and there's all these other carriages on the outside, but you're the center of the conversation and you're lending to greater support and credibility through the other people in that community, which means, you know, you own the conversation in the space, and sure, you're the facilitator, but it's not all about you.
Yeah. So what it does too is it helps more people comment, because if by me telling other people they could go read them, like they're like, oh, if I'm just replying to Tim's question and I'm just writing back to him, I'm not going to bother because he's already getting, I right now get about 1,000 comments on YouTube a day, right? So I'm not reading all of them. But one of the reasons I get 1,000 comments a day right now on YouTube is because they're not really primarily writing to me anymore. Now they're like, oh yeah, I'll leave this comment because I learned this. It was helpful for me.
Right.
And maybe it can help someone else. And Tim might not ever see it, but other people are going to be scrolling through these comments and reading them. And so now it encourages the people, they feel like their voice is already validated a little bit, and that it makes it worth their time to leave the comment.
Totally. Totally. And you don't have to be the know-it-all, right? Other people can help support all that.
Thankfully.
Right. All right, Tim Schmoyer.
This is our podcast, otherwise.
Totally. Give me number four.
Number four, and this is just another way to boost engagement and community, is to feature your audience. And by that, I mean just make them a part of your content. Like show a screenshot of one of their comments. You know, maybe do a response video to it. Maybe take some of their comments and do Q&A videos. If they have videos on their channel, maybe go look at one and talk about it on your channel, assuming it pertains to your audience or something in some way, of course. Maybe talk about them personally in one of your videos. Validate them, like, hey, yesterday Sarah commented and said this, and Sarah, because of that, like, this is what I'm doing now. Thank you so much. You know, show their video responses. Have them send video responses to you, or comment on the videos of your core subscribers and commenters. You know, so if you have a large audience, this is kind of difficult. You don't have to feature every member of your audience, but doing it with some, like just mentioning Sarah and talking about her comment, that will make the collective group of other people feel like, yes, he's listening to me. He's listening to us as a whole, and that he's looking for our interaction. And that just encourages a lot of it. If someone has a smaller audience, then I'd say you need to feature every engagement you have in some way with at least a thank you, replying to that tweet and saying, thank you, that was awesome. Or if someone likes a video and shares it on Twitter, like, you just need to really respond to every single person if you have a smaller audience.
And eventually it starts to snowball.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, totally. I mean, some people expect that to be faster than others, but persistence is the key in that one for sure.
Yeah. Okay. It's really interesting you say that, feature your audience. We do that in our cancer campaigns, but for some crazy reason, I think I forgot about doing that when it comes to my own marketing stuff. Like intuitively, I knew you're supposed to, you know, feature them, but then you get into your own stuff and you lose your playbook. So that's really helpful to me.
Yeah.
All right, Tim, number five.
Number five is to be consistent and predictable. And this applies on several different levels. It's very difficult for viewers to become a part of a community that's unpredictable. There needs to be consistency to it. So that means one, posting schedule. So you need to publish your videos consistently on a schedule and communicate that schedule. Because if you don't, the only way your subscribers will ever find one of your new videos is accidentally. Like, because they're coming to YouTube, they're looking through their subscription feed, looking for someone else's videos, and they accidentally stumbled across yours in their newsfeed. So we really want people to make our videos part of their weekly rhythm. And so the best way to do that is just to have a posting schedule and say every Thursday, posting new videos for you guys, and see you then, right? But it also applies to the video format. Needs to be relatively consistent, video length, like the content, you know, so you can't publish like a screen capture tutorial once and then a family vlog the next week and then like an hour-long webinar you did the week after that, right? Like, it's got to have some predictability and consistency to it. A book I really recommend at this point is Primal Branding, because if you guys haven't read that, I definitely recommend. And this is called what he calls, in that book, he calls them rituals. These are just reoccurring elements in your content that make it easy for someone to kind of look forward to every video you do. They have these reoccurring experiences with your brand that really make it a lot easier for them to love your brand. So,
okay, that was super. Okay, all those really helpful. Make sure you keep that schedule and you communicate it to your audience so they don't find it accidentally. You actually become an appointment or part of their ritual. Keep the content quality predictable, because if they like you for something, don't start creating something completely different and then make them guess. And then also the primal branding element, which is something I haven't read, but I'm sure I'll pick it up over the weekend. Give me number six. Tim, yeah, you're right. It won't be the Cliff Notes, because I'm from Cliff Notes generation.
You talked about what are the common elements that make develop a cult-like following around a brand, and
that's cool.
You want to develop a cult, but a following, yeah.
All right.
Number six is risking vulnerability, which we talked about a little bit. When it's appropriate, you have to be authentic and transparent. And I think a lot of people think of this as I just had to tell secrets about myself or something. That's not really what it comes down to. This is the key for this one, is that the strongest communities, both offline and online, doesn't matter where this is at, the strongest communities, they revolve around shared beliefs, not common interests, right? A lot of people are like, oh, okay, well, if we're doing fishing, like, you know, if you and I, I'm not a fisherman, so but let's just say you and I are both dads, right? Are you a dad, I think?
You know what? I'm a puppy dad. That's about as close. Dad. Yeah, yeah.
So if two dads discover that they're dads, you know, they might have something to talk about. Okay, yeah, how old's your kid or your dog? You know, like, what's the name? You know, soccer or something like that, whatever. You'll have something to talk about for a little bit. But if two people find out that they both believe the same thing about why being a dad is important, or what their mission is as a dad or something like that, when you realize you have a shared belief, not only do you have something to talk about, but you use like an instant bond that forms. And that happens in person and online. So your branding, when I say risking vulnerability, your branding really needs to communicate not just what you do, but why you do it. And that belief, that motivation is what will turn others who believe that with you, they'll turn into super fans. And those who have different motivations, you know, they'll either be like, you know what, I'm not really into this, and they leave, or maybe they grow to believe that with you. Maybe they're like a blank slate, so to speak. They don't really know why they're doing something, but you start giving them that belief behind it, and then they come and join you with it. I'll give you an example. My video creators, my value proposition, so to speak, is master YouTube, spread your message. Mm-hmm. That's my what and my why. My what is I'm going to teach you to master YouTube. My why is to spread a message. So it's not master YouTube, make money, right? We just talked about that. It's not master YouTube, sell more products. It's not master YouTube, feel more popular. It's master YouTube and the belief that behind that is changing lives, which we've already talked about. And I think that that really leads to the real currency of success in social media, which is trust and influence. And when people trust you and you're influential in their lives, really when you're going to start selling lots of products and growing and being successful, because this is ultimately about finding ways to serve people really well. And when you earn trust and influence and start boosting this engagement, people who start loving your brand, that's when they feel like, okay, he has my best interest at heart, not his own necessarily. And so I'm happy to support him. Even I don't even care what he's selling. I just want to buy it because I know that he's looking out for me. And the only way you get there is by risking vulnerability, being authentic and transparent, and revolving your brand around a belief, not just the what, but the why.
Totally, totally. Okay, I buy all that. You know, you asked
That's
me about...
That's also from Primal Branding, by the way.
It's from that? Okay, good, thanks. It's so funny, because when you mentioned risk and vulnerability, and then you asked me if I was a dad, I got something that I just haven't shared with anybody, and it happened yesterday here at the Wirebuzz office, so why not just bring it up now? It'll just give you my point of reference. Uh-huh. So yesterday in the office, Strons Vanderplug, who is on the podcast often, he's our director of video production. He brought his son into the office to meet everybody. He just had a newborn little boy named Anderson. And I looked at Anderson. Remember, my point of reference is I only have a dog. So as as Anderson was being passed around, everybody was holding him. I said to myself, and this is the risking vulnerability part. I said to myself, it's going to be so much fun when Anderson knows how to fetch. And it's because it's totally out there. Okay. But I've never had a baby and, you know, I'm an uncle and in my mind, my first reference goes to play and fetch, you know? And so it was totally embarrassing when I thought it, but I'm risking vulnerability and I'm sharing it with you. So let's get to, before I start blushing, let's get to number 7 about boosting engagement.
Kids can fetch too, by the way.
Right. They can do that too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so funny.
I don't want to fetch in your beers for you, but we can fetch other stuff. Yeah. Number 7 is live streaming. And the reason I have this on here is because this is from what I've discovered is like the only way you can really have mass personal interaction with all your viewers in real time. You know, it's one thing to have comments and go back and read them later, but when you're live streaming, this is the way like you can really have just awesome amounts of engagement. And in fact, you can see a lot of the analytics on if you live stream on YouTube. They'll give you a lot of the analytics behind your live stream, like the chat rate, the average view duration, a lot of things like that. And the YouTube algorithm just loves live streaming because it sends so many positive signals to the system about your content. You're getting tons of watch time from people who are sitting there watching you for an hour, you know? And it also really helps viewers create more of a human connection with you and your brand. So we can go through some tips for successful live streams if you'd like, but overall, just engaging with people through live streaming is a really good way to boost engagement.
Okay, so something that just triggered me here about the live streaming is part of YouTube's algorithm is about the people that watch your video, how many more videos they watch after watching your piece of content, right? Session watching. Right. Mm-hmm. So part of the live streaming that's really an important booster for your overall brand is those that will sit there and watch for an extended period of time in your live broadcast are also the ones that are going to have longer viewing sessions after, which is going to help you move up in the algorithm. Is that accurate?
Yep, that could totally be part. There's so many different ways that it helps. That's one of them. I mean, you're just getting an hour of watch time on one video. I mean, that's pretty good. just from like
all these people. That doesn't suck.
Plus, there's a lot of shareability that happens around live stuff, which isn't so much an algorithm trigger, but it is great in the sense that you're getting a lot of shareability and people are coming watching your video as you're getting more watch time. So that helped. But ultimately, though, I feel like it's the most powerful part of it is the human connection that you can develop with your audience through live Q&A, through not just reporting on something that happened, but actually letting them experience it with you. Mm-hmm. And that's really huge.
I actually prefer the live format. I'm a former talk show host and live on location reporter for Clear Channel and got to cover a lot of big breaking news stories actually in the trenches as things were going down around the country and have a real big passion for it. So I get it and understand the value. And I think that the listeners will be able to gain that also. Tim, I know we've gone over in our time, but I got lost because I was having so much fun. Is there anything that I could ask you in closing that would be of value to you? I want to be respectful of your time.
Sure. Or my favorite ice cream flavor. I don't really care.
Yeah. Well, Tim, that's a ton of really good information. I'm sure the audience is going to digest that over time and put many of those pieces to practice. Those are the 7 practical ways that you can boost engagement and build community on YouTube. And for more information on Tim Schmoyer, you can visit him at his website, videocreators.com. That's videocreators.com. Tim Schmoyer, thank you so much for joining us on Video Marketing Mastery.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
It's always fun, Tim.
Yeah.
Well, he's video distribution specialist Tim Schmoyer from Video Creators. And in this episode, you learned why instead of gambling on your YouTube strategy, you need to craft really enticing thumbnails that people absolutely want to click on. You learned the reasons titles are important, why most people aren't spending nearly enough time on their titles, how to engage viewers quickly, and the reasons you want to make it easy for your audience to engage deeper into conversation in the comment section below. But maybe the most important thing you should realize is why consistency and establishing expectations helps build your audience. Now, the websites that I like to go to, the ones that I check back on regularly, have already set the expectation that there's going to be new information regularly. So like Pavlov's dog, I keep going back several times throughout the day waiting for that new information to appear. And you do the same with your TiVo when you know that your favorite show is going to appear there. So think of that historical bias when you're thinking of your YouTube channel and establish really good expectations, and it will help build your audience. And that's why this was an extremely valuable episode with Tim Schmoyer. I hope it helps you double down for your business on a very successful YouTube strategy. Now, if you want the show notes, well, you can access the show notes and all the elements in this conversation at wirebuzz.com/21. Now, the easy way to remember 21 is, well, of course, Vegas. We've had plenty of Vegas references, but when I was underage, and maybe I shouldn't be telling this story, but it is episode 21 and everything gets a little crazier. And the things that happen in episode 21, you know, they should stay in episode 21. So if you could keep a secret, I went to Vegas when I was underage. I was probably 4 years underage, and a bunch of buddies, we got fake IDs and we showed up and we sat down at the blackjack table, and I had way too many drinks for a kid that age. And in front of me, I had an ace and a 10. And the dealer looked at me and, you know, for what my next step was. And I looked at the cards and I looked at the dealer and I said, "Hit me." And the dealer said, 21. And I said, "Yeah." I was totally annoyed with him. "Hit me." And he said, 21. And he pointed at me again, questioning me. And so I reached into my back pocket to pull out my ID. And right then, when I was just about to hand him my fake ID, I looked at the cards, ace and a 10. And I said, "Ooh, I'll stay." And everybody at that table looked at me, well, like I was an absolute moron. Now, if you want the show notes, go to wirebuzz.com/21. You guessed it. Wirebuzz.com/21 is where those show notes live. On this episode, we spent a lot of time explaining how to increase your engagement on YouTube. But what about getting more views and being discovered in the first place? If you don't already know, YouTube is the second biggest search engine, making it a great place for people to find your business online. But to get that benefit, that full benefit from the power of YouTube, you need to understand how YouTube ranks videos and the techniques that you can use to get your videos out there on the first page of search. So to help you get started, we created an ebook. It's free to the listeners of this podcast. It covers everything you need to know about YouTube SEO, and you can find it at wirebuzz.com/YouTube-SEO. That's wirebuzz.com/YouTube-SEO. If this episode hit the jackpot for you and you really like the podcast, make sure you subscribe on iTunes, and I'll make sure that when you subscribe, I send you the upcoming episodes so you have them on the go when you're ready to roll. Now, please be sure to give us a really solid rating and review. Do both on iTunes. I read everyone. It allows me to perfect my process, and I will continue to look out on the horizon to see where video marketing is headed and bring the latest information and the biggest names right here to this podcast so you can continue to be that rock star video marketer. And it'll happen right here on Video Marketing Mastery.